As we move on to chapter 33, again in verse 6, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth." What wonderful promises. In verse 7, "I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, will build them as at first. And I will cleanse them of all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." Verse 9 we read, "And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure it unto it." Verse 10, "Thus saith the Lord again, there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant, without beast, the voice of joy," verse 11, "the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord." Verse 12, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts," again, "in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. Verse 13, "In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places about Jerusalem, the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again in the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." That good thing. I think I've already got one response to that. Glory! What a day that will be. What a day that will be. God's I wills. When God said it, that settles it. Amen? Amen. Romans 11 and verse 27, Paul says, "For this is my covenant to them when I shall take away their sins." We see that, of course, in the first half of the tribulation, the commencement or the taking away of the sins of the nation of Israel. And as we think about Daniel, which I've got up here, let me just go back to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 8. And we read then, "I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." We see that again, it's repeated or referred to in Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, and also Ezekiel 36 and 27. And Ezekiel, as well as Daniel and Habakkuk and Zephaniah, were in fact contemporaries of Jeremiah. In Daniel 9:24, Gabriel points out six things to Daniel that would be accomplished at the end of the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel chapter 9:24 and 27. That really is the key of prophecy, and I'm sure you've heard that before. If you understand that key, then you have a really good grip on prophecy. But I want to draw the attention to the things here that Gabriel brought Daniel's attention to, because they are important, they are significant in light of these promises that we have in Jeremiah. Notice the first thing here, it's that we read there in Daniel, to finish the transgression. Jeremiah 33 and verse 8 says, "And I will cleanse them from all iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me." Israel's rebellion. And in fact, we saw in that video somewhat of the rebellion of Israel today. That they have not accepted Yeshua, and there's much rebellion. There's much antagonism, much angst. But praise the Lord, there are those that are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And it reminds me of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32, and he says, "Give none offense to the Jew, the Gentile or the Church of God. Talking about the unbelieving Jew, the unbelieving Gentile, but the Church of God representative of born-again Jews and born-again Gentiles. Praise the Lord, there are those that are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You mentioned some of the folk there that are ministering there. I hope to touch base with Andrew Lewis. Some of you know Andrew Lewis that is ministering there in Israel. And is the brother that's responsible for sending packages to all the rabbis right through Israel. Some of those packages have been returned by the postal service, but he still continues to get them out. And the number of hits on his local website requesting material is really quite incredible. But to finish their transgression, Israel's rebellion, to make an end of sins. And of course, when there is rebellion, there is transgression, obviously there is suffering. And so Israel, of course, have been suffering. But the consequences, again, Romans 11, 27, "For this is my covenant that I share with you, but I will take away their sins." God has promised to take away their sins. And it's, of course, as I said, they're still suffering today. To make reconciliation for iniquity. In other words, Israel's atonement. And we see here to appropriate the appropriation by Israel of the very fact of Christ dying for them. Isaiah 53 verse 6, and very often we find ourselves in a position when speaking to member of the jury to be able to share with them Isaiah 53 or to point them to read Isaiah 53 and ask themselves the question, who is this talking about? Who is this man that is talking about? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. To bring in everlasting righteousness, Israel's promised Messiah. The righteous rule of the Messiah, and again draws our attention to the new covenant. "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." To seal up the vision and prophecy, which speaks really of Israel's completion. And it's because of Israel's reconciliation, because they've come back into a right relationship with the Lord. Again, to anoint the most holy. Israel's, of course, fourth temple. There's one more temple to be built, which is the third temple in the tribulation, and that'll be with the agreement of the Antichrist, but that'll be destroyed at the end of the tribulation, and the Lord will build the millennial temple as he comes and rules and reigns. And behold, the glory of the Lord fill the house. The glory of the Lord will not fill the third temple. The glory of the Lord did not fill the second temple. It will fill the fourth temple. It filled the first temple, Solomon's temple. But the two temples in between, the glory of the Lord has not filled and will not fill, but will fill in the millennial kingdom. Jeremiah 32 verse 40, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me." Previously in Jeremiah 31 and verse 31 to 33, read of the new covenant, of course, that God will make with Israel and Judah, which is the same covenant as we see here in verse 40 of Jeremiah 32. And we're familiar with those verses, so I won't go over them here. But the only period, of course, that the new covenant can be realized by Israel and Judah is after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I know you've touched on the covenants, but just to put it into a chart form. The Abrahamic covenant, of course, we read of in Genesis 12, 1-3, chapter 15, 1-18, was unconditional, and it dealt with God's promise of land, seed, and blessing. Then the Mosaic covenant, which is conditional because it contains something like 613 commandments providing blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. In fact, in Exodus chapter 19, verses 3-8 and verse 5, but in particular, we read Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall he be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Then of course there's the Palestinian covenant, and we see the verses there that I've drawn your attention to in Deuteronomy 31-10, Ezekiel 16. And again, it affirms to Israel the title deed to the land of promise. It shows the conditional Mosaic covenant did not render the unconditional Abrahamic covenant null and void. It is an elaboration, in fact, of the land aspect of the Abrahamic covenant. Then, of course, the Davidic covenant. Again, unconditional. God's promise that David's house, throne, and kingdom will be established forever, and that this covenant is unbreakable and will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we have the new covenant. Again, unconditional. Spiritual blessing for the church in this age of grace, and a future fulfillment for literal national Israel.